For me, it was very clear. I've got to get back into my implant marketing.
Right.
Okay, so then the question is it's not that, oh, I got to do it. It's got to be, all right, here's the deadline.
Right.
And so the deadline for us is December 1st, 2024. We've got to have our full arch implant marketing
Up
back
and going.
up and going, or I got to move to another company. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. Hello, and welcome back to the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your fearless host, T-Bone, and I'm joined by my quite pregnant co-host.
These poor people think I'm always pregnant.
It seems like you are always pregnant, just so you know.
It's almost over.
It's almost
Well,
over.
we are excited to be back. We took a little vacay, maybe. We've been working. We've been working really hard.
Dude, I feel like I'm working
Overtime?
more
You
than
are.
ever, but like I feel like I accomplished nothing.
I know. We're going in circles. Well, I bet you a lot of our listeners feel like that too.
I don't know what it is. Like, I
So
really don't know
what
what it
have you
is.
been working on in the practice?
Well, I think today we should talk about strategic planning. I've been
Okay.
kind of starting that process at
Yeah.
the office, and I think it'd be great to share with people how we're doing strategic planning, what that means to me. And some of the listeners who are like diehard business folks,
Yeah.
like learned people, my version of strategic planning isn't that complicated, but kind of like everything else in my life, I try to keep it as simple and not as complicated as possible so that you can do more of it. So,
Okay. So before we get into it, tell us like who you do this with. Who do you account for it? Do it something you do on your own? Do you do it during the workday? Do you do it at home at night? Kind of talk about the
Yes,
process.
yes, yes.
Okay. Some of those weren't yes or no
Yeah,
questions.
but I said the
Okay.
yes. Like for me with strategic planning, it starts with me as the owner of the
Yes.
business. Like I want to get clear about what I'm trying to accomplish financially, clinically, from the long-term health of the practice, taking into consideration the realities of what's going on right about now. So those things, and then once I kind of get myself relatively clear, then what I did was I try to get my dentists on board to make sure that they conceptually understand it, not in terrible detail. And
Right.
then I'll bring our practice a practice leader in.
Yes.
It's I call it the person that helps make it happen, the
Yes.
doer. And so then we'll sit down with them. And today I sat with them for about an hour, kind of outlining. And this isn't new to them. So I didn't have to spend more than 45 minutes to an hour. Just like today is to paint the third. Today was about painting the 30,000-foot view of kind of what I want 2025 to look like. And now is the perfect time because that we have a solid 2 months left to make whatever changes we need to make to kind of get where we
Yeah.
need to get to.
Yeah. So I think we'll kind of go
And then I'm
through.
sorry to interrupt, but
Yeah.
then once like in my case, me, Hetrick, and Olivia sit down and kind of like battle this out or kind of really fine tune it because they gave me some good feedback. So make sure you ask me about some of the feedback they gave me today. Then we'll go to the team
Right.
and present the plan.
Yeah. I think it's important to note, though, that you've been, this isn't just like you woke up this morning, and you're like, we're going to do strategic planning today in the last quarter of the year, because for a lot of people, that would be too late
Yeah.
to change some things that require scheduling into the new year and all of that, things
Yeah.
like hygiene and block some of those blocks and stuff. This would
But
be
to
too
me, that's
late.
not strategic planning.
But I think, right. So this is more of a global
Yeah, this is a,
business planning.
yes, this is a
And
more
all
of
of
a,
that stuff was done like back in July.
that's correct.
So I just wanted to
Yeah.
mention that because I don't want people to be like, oh, they wait until now to do all their planning
Well,
for next year.
this is still ahead of most people, just so you know. So,
So, okay, let's
because
get
most of us
into.
did, like early in my career, I did this in, during Christmas or
Right.
January 1, part of my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And what I found was it just didn't work for us. It
Right.
wasn't the right time. It didn't give us any chance to get things going.
Right. It's
So,
March by then
yeah.
before
So
anything
I
gets
kind of
going.
start this process in my head in September-ish.
Okay. All right. Well,
Yeah.
let's get into it. Kind of
Yeah.
what you started with and kind of like talk us through kind of how you talked them through it today.
Yeah. So for me, the first thing I look at is top line revenue. And so what I'll look at historically, where we've been, what is going on in the economic market and where do I want to be in my case, 2025. So, you know, I'm going to share numbers. You know, for me, a successful year for 2025 will be to hit right at $3.8, $3.9 million is kind of where I would like to get the practice to in 2025. We're on track to do about 3.5, 3.6 in, and these are all collection numbers,
right?
For 2024. And that's a small bump up from 2023. I personally didn't have the best last 3 or 4 months of in practice. The practice has done pretty good, considering all of that. So we're, you know, I've established the goal of let's just call it $4 million is my strategic planning goal for 2025. And the reason I bring that number up is I want to plan to the number. I don't want to say, oh, well, if I do 3.6, that's fine, but I'd really like to do 4.2, then plan to 4.2 or plan to whatever the number it is that you want right. to do, as long as it's somewhat realistic. I can't go from 3 million to 4 million. I mean, I could, but that would require a different level of action items. But, you know, to go from 3.6 to 4 is a legitimate opportunity for us.
Yeah. Well, I think we've had a few transitions this year. We had your highest producing associate had a baby.
Yep.
So she was out for a little
months.
While. So
two and a half months.
I don't think that will happen next year.
You never know.
It's happened every year for the last couple.
We're transitioning out another great associate.
Yes.
And bringing in we're replacing him. We're replacing a full-time associate with a part-time associate.
But your other associate has picked up a day.
Yeah. And then, you know, then a lot of the challenge this year has come on my side of the practice. We've seen a significant drop in our overall implant business at the practice.
We're not doing any marketing. Yeah. I
turn the marketing off. No great reasons there other than I just
transitioning to new.
We're moving to a new company.
Right.
And so
it's taking a little bit of time.
Taking a little bit longer than I anticipated.
Right.
But I think it's looking up for us to be able to hit those numbers. But some of the challenges are going to be we've replaced a 4-day associate with a 2-day associate. Mm-hmm. So that's going to present a little bit of a challenge. And that just means that I may potentially have to step in 1 day extra per week or a couple of days per month to help make up that in the practice. And that's part of strategic planning is we got to do the numbers and say, does it make sense? And how do we do it? And does that mean that, hey, we got to work? I mean, I can't ask Ketrick to work more than 5 days.
Right.
He's only open 5 days. But, you know, and we'll kind of get into this, but my goal is to work 6 to 7 days per month. And then if that doesn't allow us to get to our goal, then the great news is I have the ability to add a few more days. And I, you know, mentally prepared myself that maybe that's what I'm going to have to do.
Okay. So when we break down kind of from a provider level, that revenue, did you work with each of them individually?
Not yet.
They have done that on their own?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay. So right now, when I say strategic planning, this is kind of like, this is my somewhat of reality pie in the sky thinking, having people I trust around me to be able to say, here's the feedback we're getting. Here's the concern. I don't know if this will work. Or, hey, here's an area that we're going to need to focus on. Kind of getting that before I go to individual people or their whole office and or individual people. I don't want to go there and then get blindsided by something
right.
that I wasn't anticipating. So the next thing after I kind of established the top line practice revenue is then I had in my mind what practice provider level revenue. In other words, where is the revenue going to come from? Like $4 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right. So where is it going to come from? And in our practice, we have 7 providers. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have 3 dentists, 3 hygienists, and a sleep apnea provider.
Right.
Okay. So between those 7 providers, we got to look at that number. And so if we take 4 million, that works out to be like 325 per month. So we got to do the math there, right?
Did you need a calculator?
No, not exactly. But
I mean, I figured you could do it all in your head. Usually you're just spitting it out.
It's 333.
Like it's nothing.
It's 333 per month, right? So we got to do 333 between the providers. And every provider is different. One provider works 2 days a week. I work 2 to 3 days a week, but I do XYZ procedures. And then we have another provider that has a pretty wide scope that's 5 days a week. And part of the provider level, especially when it comes to dentists, is you got to understand what their personal economic needs are.
Right.
Like what are their aspirations and hopes and stuff. And so, for example, Dr. Hetrick.
We did this at the beach too, with a lot of our masterminders.
With the masterminders, yeah.
Working through as the owner and as their associates. Yeah. What numbers they wanted to hit and how they were going to get.
Yeah, and what shocked me is most of them didn't really know what their associates wanted to make income wise.
Right.
And so I try to learn that. So I'm making some of this up a little bit, but if Hetrick had said, hey, I need to do 150K per month to meet my goals, I would have an honest conversation that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
That this just isn't one. This isn't the practice for that, and or maybe we don't quite have the skill set we need to do that. So part of that is there. So on our situation is my commitment was I'm confident that I can do 125K a month, okay, in my 6 to 7, 6 to 8 days a month, let's call it. Hetrick, she said like I can do 90 to 100. I'm thinking the part-time dentist can do 40K. We gave our 5-day-a-week hygienist, we gave them a goal of 18K. And then a 4-day-a-week hygienist, we gave them a goal of 16K per month. And then we gave a sleep apnea somewhere in that $30,000 to $35,000 ballpark. All that added up brought us right around the 325-330 mark. And so I knew that when I put that on the board, I didn't get the "oh my god, that's out of line" reaction from anybody. You know, when they saw my number, they're like, "Well, you're not doing that right now." I go, "Let's go back to the first 4 months, 5 months of the year, and I was averaging or more, right?"
Right.
So. And that kind of lives to that kind of brings into the next step. So top line practice revenue goal collections, provider level revenue goals. In other words, where are they going to go? And then once we get those numbers, then we got to look at where is that number going to come from?
Right.
And in our case,
the breakdown,
right? Mm-hmm. So in our case, for me, it was very clear. I've got to get back into my implant marketing.
Right.
Okay. So then the question is, it's not, I got to do it. It's got to be, all right, here's the deadline.
Right.
And so the deadline for us is December 1st, 2024. We've got to have our full arch implant marketing back
up and going,
or I got to move to another company.
Right.
Okay. And so then what does that mean? That means we have to have XYZ. We got to do this. So we kind of start listing out the things. And then in this case, I signed these things to so-and-so. And hey, we need to do this, help hold me accountable,
right,
kind of thing.
To get it going.
For Hetrick, getting to that 90 to 100K is a little bit of a bump for her, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to come to that here in a second. So that was like, we know that she pretty easily averaged 75 or so this past year. Take out the maternity leave. She was pretty easily averaging 75K a month. So bumping that up, definitely required some thought process on us, okay, and that kind of, and then the hygienist, that's pretty much the numbers they're doing. I'm not really expecting a significant amount of growth there, and then on the sleep side, that's historically kind of, we've been in that $30,000 to $40,000 per month ballpark, so I'm pretty confident we can maintain that. So really, and then the wild card in all of this is the new associate. Like, how do we get a 2-day-a-week person to 40K? I'm not saying that's low. I'm not saying that's high. I'm just saying
keep them steady.
That's a pretty decent clip for 2 days a week for a drill, fill, bill traditional associate. So
it's not there to close cases, not there enough to close enough cases.
They're not getting as many at-bats.
That's
there's a little bit of an unknown there. Okay, so we've got to keep an eye on that. And that was brought up today. That was some of the feedback we got today. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, how is he going to do this when he doesn't do surgery?
Right.
When he, when he doesn't do, maybe does he do root canals? And I couldn't answer the question a little bit. So that concerned me a little bit. So So these were the kind of questions that came up. We have a little bit of a wild card there. Now, coming back to Katie, how are we going to get her from 75 to 90 to 100? And that brings the last part of strategic planning, which is, where is it going to come from? In our situation, clinical growth areas.
Yes.
And so for us, a clinical growth area, one is going to be implant dentistry for me. Mm-hmm. That is my clinical growth area. And then for Katie, for Dr. Hetrick, a clinical growth area there is going to be orthodontics. Mm-hmm. So that's why for those of you that are listening, that's why we're starting to put such a big push on a aligner therapy, profitable, predictable, happy aligner therapy in our practice. And I don't want to do it.
Right.
So we want her to be able to lead that.
And some of the smile design.
And then smile design. Yeah. So,
yeah. Which I think kind of leads into.
Yeah. So smile
overall
design.
Overall cosmetics between ortho and smile design.
With cosmetics, then the challenge there is going to be, do we have the skill set to do it the way I want it to be done? I want it to be 100% digital workflow.
Yes.
So the challenge for her is, can I level up to doing it digitally, or is that going to be something that has to go to me?
Right.
And one of the other things that it's kind of funny. I somewhat predicted this would happen. I started offering IV sedation in the practice a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Two to three years ago. And then, so what I started noticing was, there would be patients that said, I want IV sedation, but it was dentistry I didn't do. And then I was like, God, I got to do IV sedation on these. I got to do the dentistry, not the IV sedation, the dentistry that I didn't want to do. So then what I would start doing is I would do the IV sedation for Shaker Hetrick.
Right.
And then I got irritated. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I might as well be doing that. I have to be here to sedate him.
I still rather not do the dentistry. But yeah. But I didn't think it was a long-term use of my day.
Right.
Right. So then Shake went and got IV certified. So he got IV sedation, started doing it in the office. And then Katie, I told her when Shake was leaving, I said, you're going to have to learn IV sedation next year. She goes, No. I go,
oral sedation's enough.
And it is.
Yeah.
I go, you watch and see. And sure enough,
but when you have a taste of it.
A couple of weeks ago, a patient said, yeah, I had this done with IV sedation. I'd like to get this done with IV sedation. And she's like, I just lost a case to you. I know you did.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, it's on the list. So for her is a focus on orthodontics, mm-hmm. A focus on IV sedation, and we're going to leave some of the cosmetics to me for 2025.
Okay.
And so maybe late 2025 or early 2026, we can get her to focus on the digital work, a 3D workflow for cosmetic dentistry in the practice. So, that's kind of how we came up with all of this is, again, top line practice revenue. How that breaks down to each individual provider, and then what areas of focus, if any. So, for a hygienist, it's pretty much business as usual. Mm-hmm. Okay. For me, it's getting back to business as usual. Okay. And then for Dr. Hetrick, there has to be some clinical growth areas.
Right.
So then we looked at, where are we going to get the patients from?
Right.
Right. And that is the challenge anytime you want to add new clinical skill sets.
Yeah.
You want to add or more than one a month or whatever.
Right.
Where are we getting the clear aligner patients? Where are we getting the full arch implant patients?
Right.
Where are we going to get the cosmetic dentistry patients? So the next thing I'm going to do is work through internally. Now that I've got their buy-in, that the numbers are good, that Hetrick is, she's like on board for the ortho, the IV sedation, all of that. Then now I'm going to start working out a patient acquisition plan. Like, what am I going to do as the business owner? I mean, those expenses fall on me.
Right.
Right. So I've got to look at, what is it going to cost? How much am I going to spend? And this is where I'll do a little bit of market research. I'll talk to friends who have done this.
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are they spending? How much is it costing? How is it working? And then that way I can come back and say, we're going to spend 15 grand, which is probably the number that we'll end up spending on between marketing to attract big cases.
Right.
Between large implant cases, large cosmetic cases, between print, TV, digital marketing, our spend will probably be in that $15,000 to $16,000 ballpark is what I'm anticipating it to be. But before I just say that, and before I expect somebody to help me deliver that, I want to kind of map it out myself.
Break it down.
Like, here's the company. Here's what it's going to be. Here's what we want to look at. Here's where I need you. This is what I need you to look at each month. Because part of it is then I need to look at, referrals report, like where mm-hmm. are these patients coming from? And then does our practice manager software make it easy to run a report, to track a report, to very quickly say, oh, from Google, this many patients came, this many dollars came. So that's kind of, you know, that gets into a larger, a slightly larger conversation that I want to have some time to think through and pen, I call it whiteboard it out for them. So that way we can kind of share it with the team.
Okay. Well, a couple things before we wrap everything up on our 2025 strategic planning is, how are we going to be able to track all of these things and keep these numbers in line?
Yeah.
Kind of like a scoreboard or a scorecard. How are we going to do that? And then what, any other feedback that they gave you today about y'all's meeting?
Yeah, let's start with the feed. Let's start with the scoreboard.
Okay.
So number one, a scoreboard is terribly important. As somebody that likes sports, that played sports growing up, you know, knowing the score is a key principle that we teach at 3D Dentists. And shame on me, somehow I have a whiteboard in my office. And we used to have a big ass whiteboard
everywhere. Everywhere you looked.
There was a whiteboard.
In sterilization and the break rooms.
Sterilization one is still there.
Okay.
My office one is there. The break room one has somehow disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when or how, but our scoreboard has gone missing.
Right.
And so we need to recreate a scoreboard. So the good news is I already bought one. It's already been delivered by Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Olivia's bringing a drill and a screwdriver so we can screw it in tomorrow morning. So we'll get the plan to get the scoreboard back in. And our scoreboard is going to keep track of some basic things.
Okay.
Revenue.
Yeah.
Production collections revenue, key focus areas, and extra income and any initiatives that we have. So we're going to have a very big whiteboard. So that way, on a daily basis, the entire team knows where we're doing, what we're doing. And this in the past has worked very well for me. It's worked well for me individually, for me to get see it and be reminded, like, hey, like, this is where we should be. This is where we're at. It helps me hustle. It helps me get smarter. Yeah. It helps me focus in with others on what I want to do and what I should be doing. So it kind of just gives me a little bit of guidance.
I think it does that for the whole team too.
It should.
Yeah.
It should.
To be able to see it.
Yeah. So the scoreboard's coming back. The feedback I got today was that I'm a little bit in the way. Mm-hmm. Like I want other people to do things, but yet I want to be terribly involved in everything.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got a little defensive. I'm not going to lie.
I know. Okay? I'm sure you did.
But I absorbed the feedback. There's feedback was balancing time between RDA and 3D. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do that? You know, what it really boils down to is I think the team thinks I'm not available there very much, and they're wrong personally.
Right. But, I do too.
But
I bet they don't understand that you left work over there and you come here. They're all going home.
Yeah, you know? Maybe I'm sure many of them know that or see that. But either way, part of it is when I'm there, I'm doing 3D work sometimes. But when I'm here, I'm doing RDA work.
Right.
You know, I'm logging into Exocad, designing something. So that's a challenge.
It will always overlap.
Team morale and being more connected to team members.
Yeah, and as you grow, as everybody knows, the more you grow, new team members, all that, it's hard to sometimes keep up. But I think one-on-one meetings.
Yeah, so it's a
non-planned, you know, about taking walks.
Yeah, so I'm actually meeting with one of our front office business team members next Monday.
Okay.
We put that on the schedule. We're going to go for a walk together during work hours. But and those things are important for me to hear. Mm-hmm. I try to be, even though I get defensive.
Yeah, but you like accountability.
I try to hear it and absorb it and accept it. Mm-hmm. And then I certainly
this is definitely T-Bone 2.0. Wish you could all meet 1.0.
1.0 is something else. This is probably 3.0.
Okay. Oh, wow. Really nice.
My Wi-Fi is T-Bone 3.0.
Okay.
So, that was kind of some of the feedback we got.
And, that's all good.
But what I loved about it is Hetrick is, she's more than happy to give the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see Olivia start to give a little bit more feedback
Step up.
To me.
Yeah.
And so that's good.
That's great.
That's good. And And so that's happening, you know, and Megan's very good at giving feedback. But I purposely did this meeting without Megan today a little bit. I wanted to really give the attention to Olivia and Hetrick, really get them on board. Megan's on board. She's been with me 12 years.
Yeah.
So she's kind of going to very easily be on board. So she's got trust in me. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I hope this was helpful for everybody to do some strategic planning. This is the kind of stuff I sit down and I do in our Mastermind coaching program, is I try to work with each individual to kind of understand their goals, provide wisdom, provide experience, provide a little bit of pushback, provide a little bit. I like to be that person that makes you think, that makes you question yourself.
I think you're really good at helping people work through their own problems by working backwards. Yeah. And using numbers to solidify it all.
The number part's pretty easy, relatively
right,
easy.
Right, but that's not how most people are thinking when they're planning like this. So happy planning, y'all.
Yeah, so listen, do me a favor. If we can help you at 3D Dentist, we love to help practices grow with our business mastermind. We love to help you clinically grow with our clinical programs. A couple of areas that I think are, we have some amazing programs, okay? Our focuses for 2025 are going to be a live patient implant surgical training, phenomenal live patient experiences. Our digital smile design, our 3D smile design, phenomenal program. Our orthodontic revamp with Candid is going to be phenomenal. We have amazing things to announce here before the end of the year in terms of a partnership with Candid. And then our sleep apnea training is bar none one of the best in the industry. We'd love to help you grow your practice. I know everybody is feeling the concern of the economy. And what I've always done when the economy gets tight is I expand my skill set. And when the economy's super amazing, I kind of contract what I do. So let us help you grow your practice through business coaching and clinical training so we can help you out. Everybody have a wonderful week.